This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere on the radio from 6 till 10 a.m. on weekdays mornings. Great to have you. Let's rock and roll through the end of the show. So, it is ranking season. It is hashtag peak off season. This is the point in time where there's just not a lot happening. We got a little bit of recruiting news as we come to the end of the recruiting cycle. Again, like, it's important. I will bring up the highlights. I don't dive super deep into it. I will tell you what the 2025 recruiting class shapes up to be in 2026, like at the end of 2026, when these guys are a year and a half deep. You know, there'll be some freshmen that step up and make some noise, but the class as a whole, I don't think you can evaluate until at least two seasons have passed. We'll get the highlights, whatever, that's fine. We had the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12 spring meetings, a month and a half ago. Most of the news that came out of that has been discussed ad nauseum. We do have SEC and ACC media days going on the next couple of weeks. In fact, next Monday, the show will emanate live from the College Football Hall of Fame live in Atlanta, Georgia at SEC media days. The week after that, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the show will emanate live from Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the ACC media days. And then, as Lonzo loves to say, that'll be football season. We will be in it because people will be saying things that are newsworthy. We will have fresh, hot, piping takes for you when that gets here. But the last 2-3 weeks up through the end of this week, it's hashtag peak off season. It's what logo do you want at the 50 season? It's who has the best helmet in college football season? It's what is the best home field advantage? Who has the best fight song? It's that season in college football. So we've been not so much ranking
so
stuff.
If you are a show that does that sort of thing, should they be offended by how you're talking about it?
No, not at all.
I think I would be because you're like downgrading their program.
Not at all.
And if they're having fun with it and they're getting response, then
that's
then,
why it's fine. Yeah. Not at all. It is just a, you know what this is? This is, I like brats more than barbecue. I like barbecue more than brats. All right, that's your thing. I got my thing. Right? Like, fine, whatever. I'm not going to judge for that. Now, there are elements of it that I'll go, that's bad. Like, I like my steak more than brats, and I like my steak well done. All right, no, that's just gross. I'm going to fight you. But, like, no, it's just a difference of opinion of what you want to get to in a radio show. This show, if you are looking for who has the best helmet in sports, I'm not your show. But, you know, we can talk about other lists that people have put together.
Wow, you're a whole show.
There is an article we're actually going to get to in the next segment of the show, though I am considering holding over till tomorrow to give it a little bit more time. Yahoo Sports has put together a list of the top five teams most likely to shock us next year. Top five teams that they think are maybe playoff teams, maybe conference championship teams that nobody has in that role.
Okay, so shock in a good way, not shock in a bad way.
Correct.
Like what happened to Florida State from 1 year to the next.
Thank you very much. That is correct.
It was just the first thing that popped in my head.
It's fair.
It's a very good example, I think.
So we may push that till tomorrow. I may play with it a little bit coming up later on in this hour. I wish I wouldn't have phrased it that way, but you get the point. And we'll see where it goes. But
don't worry, I won't write that one down.
I got asked earlier in the show to make a rank because I said, damn it. Earlier in the show, I pointed out that I'm not a big ranking guy because right now I got plenty going on in the world of sports. We got Wimbledon, we got Major League Baseball, we got NBA free agency still going on, still a couple of players out there. We've got NHL free agency going on. We've got the FIFA Club World Cup. Chelsea made their way into the CWC Finals last night with a 2-0 win. We've got the Gold Cup just ended. The World Cup's less than a year. Like, there's plenty of, to me, on the field, it matters, roster changes, sports to get to, that I don't want to rank helmets. Right? It's just not my thing. I'm not saying it's bad if you do. And there is a huge portion of our listening audience that they want that. So I'm fine going to find it somewhere. It's just not going to be here. However, I did get asked. So I said, I don't do rankings. I will react to other people's, though, if they are ranking something that I think is interesting. Top five teams that will shock us next year. That's a ranking I'm interested in talking about. Top 100 rivalries in football. But the way I spiced that up was in 2025. That impact this year's football season. Let's talk about how they matter now, not what they mattered like in 1952, right? So I got asked back in hour number one. And the reason I'm just getting to it at 9:05, 3 hours later, is because I really had to sit down, dial in, take a trip down memory lane, and try to put together where I've been to add to this list. But I got asked earlier in the show to give my ranking as a response to Cole Bryson. Because on our Facebook page the other day, Cole put out his ranking of the top 6 home field advantages in college football. And by the way, congrats to Cole because apparently he's a graphic designer now. Because the little graphic he put up about it was actually pretty freaking dope, to tell you the truth.
He did go to college, so I mean...
That's true. He's one of them edumacated fellers. He put together a pretty cool graphic about his top 6 home field advantages in college football. The 6 most intimidating environments in college football. And the list that he put together was this, Lonzo. Number 6, Williams-Brice Stadium. Number 5, Sanford Stadium, home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Number 4, Beaver Stadium, home of the Penn State Nittany Lions. Number 4, The Compound, Kyle Field, home of the Colt, Texas A&M. Number 2, Neyland Stadium, home of the Tennessee Volunteers. And number 1, LSU's Death Valley. That's his top 6.
Well, you said 4 twice, but I guess in sequential order.
Sorry. 6-5-4-3-2-1.
Yeah, okay.
From 6 to 1, Willie B., Sanford Stadium, Beaver Stadium, Kyle Field, Neyland Stadium, Tiger Stadium, a.k.a. Death Valley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
This is one of those things I wish that I could get, but I've only been to one of those.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, again, you can formulate a list like this just by knowing what you know and watching football on TV, playing the EA Sports college football game, getting a vibe, whatever. But to me, I think it's more fun where you've been.
And I'm guessing that he's probably been to all those places.
I'm sure he probably has been to most of them, if not all of them. So I got asked back in the 6 o'clock hour as a response to this because it got hated in the comments. A lot of Clemson fans going, yo, putting Willie B, but not our Death Valley on that list is an abomination, right? A lot of South Carolina fans going, yeah, maybe we're not a playoff team, but we still got a kick-ass home stadium. I got asked earlier in the show to rank the college football stadiums that I personally have been to, which I think for me is way more fun because I've been there, I've done that, I've been in the stadium, I've been at games. I was able to come up with, in the 18 years coming up on, September will be 18 years that I have been in sports media.
So you never went to any games before you got into?
No, I went to some before, but like I don't think I added anywhere to the list.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of the places that I went to before, and I did not go to before I turned. Like the college football games before I turned into a sports talk radio show host. So because I was in a year and a half after I was out of high school is when I jumped in. Most of the games I went to in high school were like the schools around where I was, right? So I went to games in Tallahassee. I went to games in Gainesville. I went to my games in Baton Rouge where my family went to school.
That's still
whatever.
Kind of a big deal.
Sure. But I've also been to those schools as host. So here's the list. Just, and this is a dirty list that I was able to come up with over the last couple of hours of where I've been off the top of my head. Here are the schools, top of my head, I have been to for games. Notre Dame, Florida State, University of Florida, Miami at the Old Orange Bowl, LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, the University of West Florida, the University of Central Florida, the University of South Florida, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech. Those are the schools off the top of my head that I remember going to. And I would go so far as to say, obviously, if I'm putting together a top 10 list or a top 5 list, if I don't recall that I've been to your school, it probably didn't register enough with me to say it's going to make the top 10.
Or he was there, but he has no idea what happened in the game because he was enjoying himself.
That is also a very strong, much like the drinks, possibility. It is absolutely a possibility. I don't think it's the case because I would think even if I don't remember the experience, I would remember that I went. But that's the list.
Bro, you know what you did last night?
Far as I can remember, that's the list. So now I wrote the list down, but I'm going to, as they stick out to me here, I'm going to give you my rankings, top of my head, top 10 list. And I'm going to start at number one. The number one team, the number one stadium that I've been to is Death Valley, is Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now caveat here is that it is number one if it is a night game, because I have also been to a couple of day games in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And while it is still an absolutely electrifying stadium in the daytime for an afternoon kick or a 11 a.m. kick in the Central Standard Time Zone, I will acknowledge that it's a different vibe at night. Because unlike some schools, you can go tailgate Tiger Stadium whenever you want to get there, right? Like it opens at like midnight the night before. And so LSU fans, they got the RVs, the motorhomes, they've got them lined up like the night before. You go to Walk-Ons, which is a little restaurant. They do a big outdoor tailgate. You walk over to the stadium, tailgate through the night, tailgate through the day, tailgate through the afternoon, tailgate all the way up to the game. If it is a night game in Death Valley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I'm telling you straight up, it's the best environment in college football. It is brutal to be an away fan, because while it is not necessarily like Philadelphia Eagles violent, they're gonna give you hell and they expect you to take it. And they expect you to give it back to some degree. But you get a bunch of liquored up, drunk Southeast Louisiana Cajuns all wrapped up around a college football game that they love. Oh, it's chaos. I love Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It is number one on this list for me. Number two on this list for me, the University of Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana. Now, I am going to say that South Bend, I have been there one time. I went in 2012, 11. Like, it's been over 10 years since I've been there. And some of these, it's been a long time since I've been there. But this is my experience when I was there. South Bend, Indiana has a handful of things going for it. Number one, their fans are 100% as passionate as anybody in the country. They love the Fightin' Irish. Love the Fightin' Irish. But I'm also going to say this, and this to me, get your brownies, get your bonus points. They might be the nicest group of fans I've ever been around. They might be the most welcoming group of fans that I have ever been around. South Bend, Indiana, when I got there, I went up there, a dear friend of mine that I went to high school with, who ended up going to Florida State. Her uncle is a big Irish guy, had connections to the university. And that was the year Antonio Cromartie, some of you guys might remember him. Antonio Cromartie was still at Florida State. One of my dear friends from college, her uncle had connections to the university, and he had tickets to go see, she went to Florida State, to go see Florida State at Notre Dame. And I think it was like, this was probably year one, maybe two of radio, so maybe it was like 07. She's like, Rob Brown, I know you're in radio, I know you're trying to like go to college football games. My uncle has a couple of seats. If you can fly up to South Bend, Indiana, we'll give you one of the tickets to go see FSU at Notre Dame. And it was like, oh, I get to go to South Bend. Yes, I'm going to do that. So I did. Flew up there. When I got off the plane, I was in neutral colors, right? Wasn't going up there to rep anybody. I was just there to go to a game at South Bend. The nicest group of people I've ever been around. They were welcome. They were courteous from the minute I got off the plane to the minute I got back on it to fly home. It was incredible. Now, I was watching them give hell to the Florida State fans, but they would give you that type of hell that they're like, hey, your team sucks and we hate you. Come on over to the barbecue. We got liquor stored up. Come on over, have a drink with us. They were incredible. The game was incredible. Florida State ended up winning that game on a walk-off. It was unbelievable. Notre Dame is number two on my list. Number three on my list, Bryant-Denny Stadium, home of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, I went to Bryant-Denny a number of years ago. My old high school football coach, Bobby Moore, his daughter, who was my age, went to Alabama, and she became an assistant SID, sports information director. And she, I put out there on like social media, I was like, buddy's getting married, want to take him to a Bama game. He is a huge Alabama guy, and we want to do the bachelor party in Tuscaloosa, and we want to do it around an Alabama game. Does anybody have access to tickets? And she called me. She's like, I got you, dog. Not only do I have you, but since it's your buddy's bachelor party, VIP tour of the Bear Bryant Museum. I'm going to take you in the locker room. We're going to walk you down to the tunnel, onto the field. I'll let you walk around the field before the game. We went to see him play Mississippi State. That was the game, if you remember, where I think it was A.J. McCarron got into the game as a backup. Alabama was up like 3 scores. He went out there and he threw an interception late in the game. Game was like way out of hand, way over. Nick Saban ran out of the field and chewed his ass like he just walked out there and pooped on the field. Like he was just all over him like white on rice. It was like a big deal because it was one of those first moments in Nick Saban's career that you really got the curtain pulled back to find out that like this dude is the definition of perfectionist, right? So I was at that game. We were actually standing on the sideline. In fact, one of the angles you could actually see us in that video. Here's what I'll say about Alabama. I went there with a preconceived notion about Bama fans. I like Bama fans now, and it was because of that experience. They were incredible. They were incredible. Stadium was loud. Stadium was rocking. Fans were as loud as any stadium I've ever been to. But I had as much, if not more, fun before and after that game as I've had anywhere else. They built there. It's much like the Battery at Atlanta. Everything in Tuscaloosa is based around Bryant-Denny Stadium. All the bars, all the restaurants, all the entertainment, it's all right there. Their tailgate party is all centered on the stadium, and their fans know how to have a great time. Not quite as raucous as LSU, but a phenomenal time. It was great. Tuscaloosa, Alabama goes number three on that list. Number four on that list, Williams-Brice, Willie B. I've been there 2 times since I moved here. Listen, I got no reason to blow smoke. If I had a reason to blow smoke, I obviously would have put this team higher up on the list to blow some smoke. I'm not blowing smoke. Willie B is number four on my power ranking of stadiums I've been to. I've been there twice. The upset win over Florida a couple of years ago I was at, and the Clemson game 2 years ago when Clemson went to Willie B and beat the absolute dog snot out of South Carolina, right? Those two games, I mean it when I say, in my opinion, the best walkout, the best field intro for any team is in Tallahassee, Florida, with the Florida State Seminoles following Osceola and Renegade out for the planting of the spear. Like, that's just, to me, the most iconic individual pregame moment. But Cocky coming out, he wasn't in the cockaboose yet. He was still coming out of the, like, stage cage thing they had him in. Cocky coming out, Space Odyssey playing, and then going into Sandstorm with the towels going up and down. It is, I mean it, unlike anything that I have ever experienced. It was goosebumps on the skin levels of incredible. The fan base, and I'm going to say this because it is not something that I have to say about Alabama or LSU. When the fan base stays and is in that building, It is as electric as anywhere. I would say that in spurts, South Carolina is the only team on this list that in terms of fan energy in-game competes with LSU. I think fan energy in-game is louder than Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It is louder than Opelika, where the Auburn Tigers play on the Plains. It is louder than the Mississippi schools. It is louder than the Florida schools. In fact, I would say that I'd be willing to put Willie B, in terms of fan energy in the game, I'd be willing to put it ahead of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium at the University of Florida, who is coming up very shortly on this list. I put Willie B at number four. It gets a little knocked because they only open up the tailgating grounds like 4 hours before the game, so I only got like 3 hours to like really get my tailgate on, and that's a bump.
How much tailgating do you need?
Every bit of it. That's why I love LSU. You can start your tailgating 48 hours out and just go strong all the way till. Give me the party, baby. The party's part of the environment, part of the fun, part of the game. The fact that I can't get onto the fairgrounds until like 4 hours before the game, so I got to rush through 3 hours of tailgating. Not my favorite thing. But once you're in that tailgate and once you're in that stadium, it's as good as any stadium in game when the fans are there, because I've seen that stadium empty out a few times. That knocked you down the list. All right, when we come back, I'll get you number 5 through 10 on my list of my favorite stadiums I've ever attended a game on. We'll wrap it up with that Kirk Cousins story in the final segment of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. And now, joining us on the stream and kind enough to do so, despite the fact that I had him booked for 9, and with the issues I've been dealing with this morning and me just sometimes being a big dumb idiot, we blew right by that. And Chapel Fowler from the state said, don't worry, dog, I got you. I'm jumping on and kind enough to do so now to talk a little bit about Clemson, about their NIL story, about the comments of Brad Brownell that he made earlier this week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Chapel Fowler making his long-awaited and, frankly, honestly, well-overdue return to the Rob Brown Show. What's up, young man? How we feeling, big dog?
I'm great. Yeah, I got my AirPods are finally in after I dropped them like three times as you were introducing me. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Happy to chat with you all. Yeah, certainly a lot of stuff going on, even in a quote-unquote dead month for college sports. So yeah, ready to get into it.
We call this around these parts, Chapel Fowler. I call it hashtag peak off season, right? This is a spot where people are ranking helmet designs and they're ranking end zone patterns and whatever. And that's fine. I like that's your thing. I like to talk about things that are actually impacting sports on and off the field. And Brad Brownell decided, hey, let's spice it up a little bit earlier this week. He did an interview with On3 Sports where he said that he expects the basketball program is going to be getting roughly 11% of Clemson's revenue share cap, that $20.5 million, which equates, I'm real bad at math, to around $2.25-ish million dollars. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes of that, what was your takeaway? Was there anything about that interview with Brad that was new to you, shocking to you, kind of changed the way you're looking at this whole thing, or was that kind of expected in the budget for Clemson and their NIL / rev share budgeting?
Yeah, that was a very candid conversation, first of all. Credit to Larry Williams at Tiger Illustrated, like you mentioned, for getting that done. I was not super surprised at like the number split itself. You know, that's kind of what I'd been hearing and what Graham Neff had more or less said, you know, the idea that Clemson is going to split revenue sharing money proportionally. You know, the teams that make a lot of revenue are going to get revenue, essentially. So I wasn't surprised to see basketball as a number two, like a distant number two to football, but it was refreshing to see Brownell just come out and say it. Like, you don't see that a lot from any like power conference coach. So I appreciated him just putting it out there. You know, 86%, 11%. That's good for me to know as a reporter and work with, because Clemson wasn't going to officially tell us, and they've been a little secretive FOIA wise with what they're releasing and not releasing regarding revenue sharing stuff. So not surprised at what the number was, but I guess pleasantly surprised that Brad was just so willing to talk about it and like the challenges that present. Because, you know, you're kind of just lying if you're not saying that doesn't present a little bit of a challenge for a power conference team.
Yeah, he not only said that, but he also pointed out that he believes that some of the direct opponents of the Clemson Tiger basketball team will be getting up to maybe a little bit more than 20%. And I assume that's probably accurate for schools like North Carolina, for schools like Duke, that the basketball is as big, if not bigger, than the brand in football. But I kind of looked at that and I took it. And tell me if this is a hot take, if I'm going too far, if I'm making too much of it. But I kind of looked at that and went, all right, on one hand, Clemson's football is the crown jewel. We all know that. But considering Brownell the last 2 years has really had this basketball team trending upward, I would think right now would be as good as ever has been to invest in the basketball team. Is this a – should I take this as Clemson thinks basketball is a secondary sport, or – this is just how highly they think of football as the revenue generator?
Probably a combination. I mean, I think anybody at Clemson would be lying to themselves if they didn't say that football is like the power driver of everything in this athletic department they have. And in a lot of ways, the university too, like just the economic impact and the like fall Saturdays, what those seven do for the local economy and everything. Like, and as you've seen, realignment is essentially driven by college football television contracts. Like, this is why all this crazy stuff has happened over the last however many years. Football matters no matter how much of a basketball school you are. I mean, you've even seen UNC Chapel Hill, to give an example, my alma mater. Like, this is a school that's a basketball blue blood, but they've spent all this money on Bill Belichick and a new football coaching staff and are trying to get back up to like a respectable level in football, because in a lot of ways that's like what assigns you your value in these long-term TV deals, realignment, conference changes, all this stuff. So I think it's totally fair for Clemson to put that much money into football. I also think it's totally fair for Brownell to openly say, hey, you know what? Like, this is the way it is. And I'm not like furious about it, but it is going to be a challenge and we are going to be at a disadvantage. You know, they have a pretty strong NIL stream, like donor stream. I think that's something he did a really good job of, especially in the early years of NIL portal stuff. I mean, compare him to what Dabo in football had been doing, and it felt like basketball just had stuff rolling, like they were nailing it with a one or two really good, smart portal additions every single year. They were getting their guys paid, keeping them around. Basketball has like a nice little donor pocket, and in a lot of ways, that is Brad Brunell like cultivating that and bringing people on overseas trips and establishing this, you know, Friends of Clemson basketball group that he'll like have cocktails with post game, every single home game and stuff like that. So he has worked really hard to build up the non-rev share parts of what they're going to be able to get and use money wise. But I mean, I would be in the same frame of mind if I was him and hearing that, hey, you're going to get 11% and this school is going to get 15-20. And then all your schools that, you know, don't have football, like a Gonzaga or a College of Charleston, like even these smaller schools, they might be up around you too, which is kind of crazy to think about if you're a power conference school. So fair for Clemson to do it, fair for Brunell to be a little bit ticked also. And it, knowing him a little bit, like he's going to let you know if he's a little irked about something, no matter who you are, which I respect a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I also appreciate it. And don't get me wrong. Like, I think it's a little politicking from Brad Brunell, because Clemson, as you pointed out, kind of being quiet, they're not going to put the numbers out there. And for the record, that's not a Clemson thing. I think most schools are going to avoid it. I don't want everyone else knowing how I'm divvying up my cash, because if I get it right, they'll copy. And if they don't, they'll take advantage, whatever. But I think it's got to be a little bit of politicking from Brad, because if you put it out there in the public eye and you put it out there for Clemson fans to see, for the ones that truly do care about basketball and want to see it grow, et cetera, that public pushback is the only thing that is going to change the way that that works. So I felt it was politicking from Brad, and to keep it a buck with you, I got zero problems with him doing it.
Yeah, no, me either. I mean, he's done more with less for a long time. You know, I think he understands very well that Clemson is a football school, first of all, for better or for worse, and he understands what that does for the entire athletic department, how that helps basketball, but at the same time, how that can also, you know, pull away from basketball. Like, even in year, 15 or 16 for him, like he's willing to do the sort of stuff that, like, maybe a coach just getting started at a job would do in terms of program promotion. Like, he's very available to the media. I mean, that interview, that's something that him and Larry Williams have done like every summer almost since he's been there, like a long, like 3-hour sit down. Like, that's the type of thing that you're probably not going to get annually with like a John Shire or Bill Self or Hubert Davis or something. So he very much is still like wanting to build the program and not like taking that as a negative, just knowing that's kind of part of the unique job he has. You know, I think that's probably one of many things that kind of helped him stick around when Indiana came after him. And he kind of touched on that in that interview you mentioned too, the idea of here's all this stuff in Clemson's favor and just that like what they have right now is a pretty good marriage and probably in the modern era, like about as good as you can have the basketball program rolling with all the football money and considerations and stuff. So I think it's a pretty good fit, but at the same time, he can't not be silent about this type of stuff. So I'd imagine they probably got a few extra donations after he made that complaint from somebody who saw that and said, this can't happen.
Chapel Fowler covers Clemson for The State, joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I asked on Monday after this interview dropped, I asked Clemson fans on the show, first and foremost, like, are you good with this? And a lot of them said, yeah, like, I want football to be good, and if I got to sacrifice other sports. We had a handful of people that said, nah, not really, but I understand it. And then we had a few that said, look, I want a good basketball team. We have had a legacy history of good coaches that have come here, not been able to get then go on to success, and this is the reason why. Do you feel like, in your coverage of this school, like basketball is a sport that Clemson is willing to invest in, or does this kind of send out the message, or is it fair to kind of read this as like, we have a basketball team, but like, hey, if they make it, great, and if they don't, whatever. Because and I don't want that vibe, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're totally willing to invest, and then they have in a lot of ways outside of pure like rev share money percentage, but I think it's always going to come with an asterisk. And I think you know, it's refreshing to at least hear Clemson acknowledge, you know, not with direct numbers, but, you know, Graham Neff has said it, Dabo has hinted at it, like the idea of just how much money rev share wise Clemson is going to have football and what that can do for them. So I think that's always going to be the main thing for them. And again, like, you can be upset about it, but I think from a pure like dollars and cents aspect and realignment and just everything that seems to matter in college athletics nowadays, like keeping a program that is so valuable, so nationally relevant at that level, however you can, is probably going to trump just about anything else you do with any of your other 20 varsity sports. That's kind of just the reality nowadays. So I think, they've done stuff with, facilities. There's facility improvements going on right now at Little John. They've kind of done stuff with that. I don't know. I mean, they've offered like administrative support. Like there's a lot of guys that are involved in this NIL and portal stuff. Like they had a really good portal haul, I thought, this year, given who all they were losing and who all they needed to replace. And they were able to get some pretty solid guys that were being bid on by other pretty good high power conference schools. So I think the support is still there, but it's always going to come with a little bit of an asterisk. And I think you just kind of have to accept that. And I think Brunell for the most part has.
Chapel Fowler joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You had an article up on the State the other day that was just kind of a general overview of the NIL take, the strategy, et cetera, from Clemson. For folks maybe that haven't gotten an opportunity to check in and read that yet, give us kind of an overall summary of what the takeaway for you as you have watched this rev share, really more rev share than NIL, I guess, as you have watched the rev share story develop since the settlement a couple of weeks ago, and as schools are starting to solidify their tactics, their approach to it, what has been the big points to you and the takeaway about the strategy as Graham Neff and the Clemson Athletic Department has figured out where they are and where they're going?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, the settlement is a good thing in terms of just keeping, player compensation, which to me has been long overdue for decades, like a little bit more, not like capped or in line, but kind of just, I guess, formalized. Kind of the basics of it are each school has a certain cut of their like media ticket revenue. It's like about 20% of that school's annual revenue, and that comes out to $20.5 million this year. So they have up to $20.5 million that they can spend directly by compensating their athletes and their teams. There's actually like a few little deductions within that $20.5 million number regarding like scholarships and like back payments with the Austin stuff as part of this whole settlement. So the number ends up being about $18 million is what I've been told for what each school that's committing the maximum amount of money has to directly spend on their athletes, on their teams. So within that $18 million, that's kind of the number you're working with. Again, Brunell has confirmed publicly what essentially the numbers say, which is football is going to be massive, higher than most schools. I think the original split that the judge put in kind of the back pay settlement was like 75% to football and something like 15% men's basketball, 10 to women's basketball, and whatever else was to everybody else. So Clemson obviously higher on football, a little bit lower on men's basketball. Just about 3%-ish left for baseball and other sports. But kind of what they've done on top of that, and I think this is a smart move, one that's expensive but probably makes some sense just from a PR perspective and keeping your other coaches and teams' perspective happy. They've fully funded essentially the rest of their other sports teams. So they're adding like 150 scholarships. Baseball, 11.7, that's not a thing anymore. Their baseball team will have 34 scholarships. I don't know, women's lacrosse, softball, like name an Olympic sport team. They're going to have a fully funded roster, which means no walk-ons, but, you know, more people that are not having to pay their own way onto the team. So that's kind of the benefit for the lower level sports and what Clemson has pushed pretty heavily. And as they should, because that is a little bit unique. There's not a ton of schools nationally that are doing this fully funded scholarship stuff on top of their rev share money. Like South Carolina, for instance, is adding about 50-ish new scholarships. Clemson, in the other hand, is, you know, 150 fully funding all their teams. So they are a little bit unique in that aspect. So I think the combination of that and the high football percentage probably merged together to become a pretty happy medium for everyone involved, even though football is definitely leaning. Yeah.
Chapel Fowler covers Clemson for the State. You can follow him over on X. And if you're not already doing it, you absolutely should. His handle is at Chapel Fowler, ChapelFowler. Kind of, we're going to see you at ACC Media Days here in a couple weeks.
I'll be there. Yeah.
You better plan on stopping by for a couple of segments because we got plenty more. We got to talk more about this. We got to talk about the settlement with the ACC. Like, we got stuff to get to, Chapel Fowler.
There's a lot, yeah. Like I said, July is not really a slow month nowadays, given the state of this sport we cover.
And more importantly, the next time you and I talk at ACC Media Days, we'll actually get to talk about football and not courts and judges and lawyers and stuff.
Yes.
Let's get to it. Chapel, appreciate you, big dog. Good to have you back, buddy. Let's do it again real soon.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And always, Chapel Fowler from the state. You can follow him again on X at Chapel with one L, Fowler. We appreciate his time. We appreciate you sticking around through this break because we got one segment left on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Kirk Cousins stories that have come out of the quarterback documentary, which dropped episode one last night on Netflix, very interesting. There are two of them that have come out of that first episode of the quarterbacks documentary produced by Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions. The two stories are this, and I will identify them, set them up. We will talk about them, and then based on what's already happened in the show and the fact that we have like 3 minutes till we got to get to what the X is going on, means we're probably going to bring them up in more detail tomorrow on the show. So if it interests you, see you tomorrow. There are two stories that dropped out of this. The first one is that Kirk Cousins has now acknowledged that when the Atlanta Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. in the draft last year at the number 8 overall position, he said he felt a little misled, he felt lied to, he felt taken advantage of, said, look, had I known, he said, and I'm paraphrasing most of this, but it's pretty close. He basically said, I knew that it was going to be kind of a handoff situation. But I also thought, because they're signing me to a 4-year deal, you will all remember a deal that Rob Brown said at the time was a dumb deal and too many years of service. You're welcome. I know ball.
Dumb for them, not for him.
Not dumb for him at all. You are correct. My man can kick back for the next couple of years, make a boatload of money, and basically have to do nothing unless Michael Penix Jr. gets hurt. I said it was a dumb deal. I said it was too long at the time. He said in episode one of the quarterback documentary that he knew it was going to kind of be a transition role, but he also expected to be a starter for a significant amount of time while they did that. He said, I expected them to draft a quarterback. I just did not expect it to be with our first round draft pick. He said, I expected them to draft a quarterback, but had I known that they were not just going to draft a quarterback, but that they were going to draft my replacement quite literally weeks after I got there, that I probably would have re-signed with Minnesota. I probably would have stayed in Minnesota, which honestly would have probably been the better option for Kirk Cousins, even if they didn't draft Michael Penix, because as we have seen, because Kirk Cousins had a career year, then got signed by Atlanta, and then Sam Darnold showed up. And again, I don't hold what happened to Sam Darnold in New York. I don't hold what happened to Sam Darnold in Carolina against Sam Darnold, because while I think both of those organizations are better now than they were then, they were dumpster fires then. It's not real hard to be better than those organizations were when Sam Darnold was there. But he took two quarterbacks, both of whom were fine in their previous spots, did Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings, and he got them both massive contracts after playing there. That is part of the reason that while I do not believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a great NFL quarterback, if anybody's going to be able to get the most out of J.J. McCarthy, it's Kevin O'Connell. He got the most out of Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins. Good on him. So, the other story that Kirk Cousins broke, and this is one I suspect we are going to have a longer conversation about tomorrow, is it turns out Kirk Cousins is a liar. I don't want to believe that was the case, but it turns out Kirk Cousins is a liar. Remember, after the season, was playing poorly. He said, after the season, my arm was dinged up. I was playing through it. I said, look, there's only one or two options here. Option one, Kirk Cousins was hurt. He lied to the Falcons about it to keep playing. Option two, the Falcons knew he was hurt. They lied to the NFL, which is a big no-no, so I doubt that.
Is omission a lie?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
In this case, yes.
Omission is a lie.
Yes.
So you never say anything, but it's considered a lie.
Yes. Lying by not telling the truth, to me, is the lie. If I know that there is a...
You're not saying anything, though.
If I know that there is a bit of information that if I gave you that information would impact the way that you handled your business, and that I don't give you the information so that you handle your business in a way that I want you to handle it, that is lying by omission.
Or insider trading, I suppose.
Which is a crime!
Well, that is, yeah, for sure.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow.
You hesitated. That's
no, it's fair. That's where I was planning on dropping it anyway.
All right.
Because we are going to talk about that tomorrow.
Time to find out, or probably fight about it, I guess. Find time, and then time find, and then then you find a time to talk about what is Xing today. The first thing that's Xing is Al Horford.
Al Horford Xing. Is Al Horford signing another contract?
No.
Okay. Because that dude's been around the NBA for, I believe, 62 years now.
This one I don't expect you to know, but I think it's funny. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the cover for 2K26,
mm-hmm.
And they have faded out faces of players, and people have found out that the one guy directly behind him is Al Horford, so he's trending.
Even though
they grayed out his face.
No,
so you could still tell it's him.
So on one hand, if that was me, I'd be a little butthurt about it. On the other hand, I would spend the rest of my life telling people I was 100% a cover athlete for NBA 2K. I'd 100% tell everybody I know, yeah, I was a cover athlete. Me, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, cover athletes.
I don't think Al Horford has to impress anybody. He has made a lot of money.
He has made, yeah, because he's played 62 years.
Yes, he has.
Good for him, by the way.
The next thing it's texting is HBO Max.
HBO Max. I do not necessarily know why it is trending. I do know that HBO Max, probably more than, I would argue maybe any of the other streaming services right now, is one that I feel has earned my money lately.
Max officially changes to HBO Max today.
I thought they already did that. I thought it already was.
It wasn't official. It's official across all their platforms, apparently.
As far as programming goes, I think they've done a really good job. As far as programming goes, I feel like overall they've nailed it. However, y'all got to stop changing the names. You got to stop changing the names.
Yeah, because I don't know that it matters. I mean, it just makes it harder to find on your app when you're looking for it if it doesn't immediately change over. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Prime Days.
Well, Prime Day started yesterday. Of course, it is the time of year where Amazon Prime ups the prices on everything so that they can drop them back down and convince you you're getting them on a discount. It is also the time I'm 100% going to buy most of the things I buy on Amazon. Here's my favorite thing, and I will say this is good for you, the consumer. What I have noticed is that over the last couple of years, predominantly this year, I'm starting to see a lot of the other like brick and mortar box company stores, like the big box company stores. I'm starting to see them kind of do like their own Amazon Prime equal sales, right? And if you play that right now, here's what I will say. Before you buy something, because Amazon or whoever says, oh, it's 45% off right now, check what the price of that item was 2 months ago. All right, because what they do is they tick the price of the item up like a percent, a percent, a percent, a percent leading up to, and then they knock it down. It's still probably lower than OG, but like they take it from $20 to $30 and then they sell it on a huge sale at $15. And it's like, yeah, you're only saving five, but they make you feel like you're missing a 50% deal if you don't buy it right now. Just be careful is all I'm saying.
All right, the final thing that's Xing is Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks turns 69 today. That's what I was going to say. Is that right?
Yeah.
Congrats, America's Uncle Tom Hanks. On behalf of America, we all love you. You're amazing. Keep doing amazing things. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to all go today. I want you to go to Wikipedia. I want you to look up Archaeopteryx and Tiktaalik. I want you to read about my favorite two fossils ever discovered. I want you to learn all about everything they meant. And I want you to join me and Joe Burrow on Team Nerds Who Like to Learn Cool Stuff About History. It's a fun place to be. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, I don't know what to tell you. It was probably your fault. Come back tomorrow. We'll try to do better. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. Later!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.